Welcome, 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 welcome to everyone. Welcome to the people of St. Gabriel's. If you're from St. Gabriel's, raise your hand real quick. Let's see. Oh, yeah, represented. Well done. If you're from Epiphany, raise your hand. Let's see where you're at. Oh, yeah, there we go. Welcome, welcome, welcome to everyone in this culmination of our preaching series, Summer in the Spirit, where together as three parishes, we have explored the person of the Holy Spirit. We have looked at it from Genesis to Revelation, asking questions like, who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? How can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? And we explored Paul's admonitions. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Be filled with and walk with the Spirit. Today, we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to be poured out once again to fill us to overflowing with God's grace and love, because without that, we have nothing to offer the world. Nothing. But before I do that, I'm going to start off this morning by telling you a bit of my story. Now, I'm going to step away from the pulpit, and the folks who are from Christ Church, you know this is not good news. All right, this is not good news. I rarely preach without a net. Okay, Lionel, this is the, listen, run for it while you got a chance. But I grew up in a traditional Episcopal family. I did. I was baptized into the Episcopal Church, and, you know, we didn't really pray together. We didn't read the Bible together. We went to church every Sunday, without a doubt. But that was about it. And I'm sorry, Mom and Dad. You know, they're on the live stream right now. They're in their 90s. Can everybody, right there, that camera, can everybody say hi to Mom and Dad? Hey, Jan and David. They thought I'd amount to nothing. So anyways. So we grew up in this sort of traditional Episcopal family, and then my parents got involved with the charismatic renewal movement in the 70s and 80s that swept through the Episcopal Church. Anybody remember that? Put your hand in the air. Oh, yeah. And it got a little weird, to be honest. It just got a little weird. And so I went off to seminary. I went to Neshota House, the most sort of high church Anglo-Catholic seminary you could go to, as far away from the charismatic renewal movement as I could get. And then I was a priest. I was called to a church in Racine, Wisconsin as the associate. And so I went there, and 2 weeks after I arrived, they were going to do a Faith Alive weekend. That's sort of a revival weekend. Anybody remember Faith Alive? Anybody? Put your hand in the air. Look at that. And so they're doing this Faith Alive weekend, and the rector staff meeting was announcing this and my role in it, and I was like, oh, that's great. I can't wait. I mean, that's all that happy, clappy Jesus stuff. I don't want anything to do with that. But I was new, I was associate, I said, I can't wait, tell me what my assignment is. So anyways, we start this weekend, this Faith Alive weekend, and I'm in a small group with Bob Painter, who is the leader of Faith Alive, and Bob Painter is a Baptist. And we're breaking up into these small groups, and Bob Painter has the audacity to say that you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and make an adult profession of that to be born again and saved. And I said, well, wait a second, you're in an Episcopal church, you know that, right? I mean, I wasn't going to let that Protestant theology go unchallenged. I said, listen, we are sacramentalists. We believe that we are saved by grace through faith through the waters of baptism. And we went back and forth. I still pray for those people that were in that small group, because I'm sure they are pagans by now. And I took great umption with that thing. And I went home, and I did not sleep a wink. Not a wink. Because I began to ask the question, have I done that? I mean, in my own words. I mean, I have been through every ritual the Episcopal Church offers. Marriage, ordination, confirmation, all of them. Except extreme unction. That's still to come. But I began to question, have I done that? Is that what I'm missing? And so the next morning, it was Sunday services. Bob Painter was the preacher. And he preached, and then he said, I want to invite anybody forward who would like to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I said, an altar call in the Episcopal Church. Is that what we're doing? We're not Baptists. And in my mind, I started this wrestling match. It was like, get up. This is what you've been missing. The other side of me was saying, sit down, be quiet. Everybody thinks you're a Christian. You're a priest, for God's sake. Get up, sit down, get up, sit down, get up, sit down. Finally, I just got up. There's about 25 people gathered up front, and Bob Painter led us through this commitment prayer to Jesus Christ and had us say out loud that we commit our lives to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I swear something shifted in me that was absolutely life-changing. It was like I was transformed in that moment, and all of a sudden I'm bawling. I got snot running down my face, and I'm going, I love you, Jesus. I love you. It was embarrassing, and I couldn't stop. It was extraordinary. It's like my heart was exploding with this love that I had heard about but had never really fully experienced. Well, I left that service transformed. The next day, I'm at the office, and the coffee maker's in the library. You got to go in the library to get a cup of coffee. I go in there, and there's this woman there named Mike Millicent, but she goes by Mike. And she goes, how was the weekend for you? I said, fantastic. I fell in love with Jesus. It was perfect. And she goes, well, there's still the filling of the Holy Spirit. And the smile left my face. I knew exactly what she was talking about, wanted none of it. I just turned and went the other way. I said, good talking with you. I got to go. The next day, I go into the library to get a cup of coffee. Who's there again? Mike. And she's practicing for a Bible study. And she says to me, she goes, Terry, do you know who the Holy Spirit is? And I said, the third person of the Trinity. Duh. And she goes, do you know what the Bible says about the person of the Holy Spirit? He was there at the beginning of creation. And I sat down. And this woman, this layperson, with such wisdom and grace, took me from Genesis to Revelation, showing me all the places, all the prophecies, everything, Paul's writings in Acts, these examples of people receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I couldn't believe it. I said, listen, I grew up in a Christian home. I was a religion undergrad. I've got my master's in divinity, and nobody walked me through this. Nobody showed me this. It was like the best kept secret in the church. And she goes, Terry, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I said, yes, yes, I want it all. I want everything. Everything he's got, I want. Because I always felt like I've been going to church from the minute of consciousness. And I always felt like, have you ever been to McDonald's and you pull up to the drive-thru and you order the number 3 combo and you say, supersize it, you know? And then you get it, you set it in the passenger seat, you start driving away, and as you're driving, you reach over to get some French fries, right? Anybody do that? But you reach into the bag, and all of a sudden, there are no French fries in your bag. And you're like, oh, my French fries. And you feel gypped, Lionel. You're like, but you're already on the road, you can't turn around to go back and complain. I felt my whole Christian life had been like that. I got the number 3 combo, but where are the fries? I wanted to feel what those people who wrote the hymns, what they were feeling when they wrote those hymns. And I said, absolutely, I want exactly what God has for me. And she said, so she started praying, and then she says, Terry, in your own words, invite the Holy Spirit to fill you. And I said, come, Holy Spirit, and fill me. And Mike kept on praying, but I stopped praying because God's honest truth, I felt electricity running through my body from head to toe. And I was freaked out. And I step back and she's going, tell me what's going on. What are you experiencing? I said, I feel electricity just coursing through my body. And she goes, that's the Holy Spirit. I said, the what? She goes, the Holy Spirit. And then we grab hands and we start praying. And I swear, this electricity was just looping through us. And by now, I got like one eye open while I'm praying. Because I'm like, something's going on. And then I look out. I stop and I look out into the courtyard, and I swear to you, colors were vibrant like I'd never seen color before. Reds were, you know, and the green was just like it was like sparkling. It was incredible. And Mike's talking with me, and I began to get in my head, go to the church, go to the church, go to the church, go to the church. And Mike's talking to me, and she realizes that I'm no longer there, and she goes, Terry, what are you experiencing now? And I said, I hear in my head, go to the church. She said, well, we better go. So we go to the church, and I'm kneeling in front of the altar, and I'm just moved to confess all of my sins. And she's standing next to me praying for me, and I'm confessing out loud all of my sins. And it was pretty embarrassing, pretty shameful. But I couldn't resist, because every time I said it out loud, it was like my soul was being unburdened. It was like stuff was lifting off of me. It was extraordinary. It went on for like an hour. And I felt like I'd been in the ring with Mike Tyson by the end of it. But I also felt free. I was like, this is what it feels to be free. And then the rector comes walking in, my boss, and he's like, well, so what's going on here? And so Mike starts talking to the rector, and I'm standing there, and I'm sort of in a stupor. And they're talking. All of a sudden, I hear in my head, go get your lunch. Go get your lunch. I swear, Chris, clear as day, go get. I am going nuts. I am certifiable at this point. And so I look at those two, and I go, I'm sorry, I got to go get my lunch. So I go downstairs to the kitchen and I open the refrigerator, and the lunch that I had put in there early in the day was not there. And I'm like, what is going on? And then I see over to the side, the Tupperware that my lunch was in was all cleaned out and set on the counter. And I hear in my head, clear as day, fast, fast. And I fasted for 3 days. And in those 3 days, I was relieved of these habitual sins that I had wrestled with most of my adult life. It was like they were gone. The compulsion, the obsession, the desire, gone. It was incredible. And then from that point on, it's been a completely different way to live. And that was 28 years ago. And I still feel, I was up here when we were singing. You could see me. I'm like this and I'm not like this. This, I don't know. But I could feel the Spirit just coursing through me. And it's extraordinary. That's my story. And I'm sticking to it. Now, some of you, I'm going to move back here because now I got some notes. That didn't go as bad as I thought it was going to go. Woo! Now, some of you may have had similar experiences of the Holy Spirit. Has anybody had a similar sort of kind of, oh my gosh? Yeah. Maybe not identical, but similar. And I believe God's called you here because He wants to refresh you. He wants you to experience that again. To affirm His love and devotion to you. Now, there may be some of us sitting out here that are saying, that's what I've been missing. That right there is what I've been missing. I've been going to church for decades. I want some of that. I'm ready. And I say, fantastic, because you are in the right place. Now know that the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit is not like sweatpants. One size does not fit all. Okay? What do I mean? I mean that he He ministers to each of us in a unique way because he knows us. He lives in us by virtue of our baptism. He knows exactly. And it might be a physical manifestation. I mean, so, you know, like me, it feels like electricity. Other folks have said it just feels like warmth emanating in me. Others, you know, they feel like a cool breeze and they start shaking. And you may not have a physical manifestation. It may be some sort of an emotional experience for you, where you're overcome with a sense of God's deep abiding love for you, and you're moved to just tears. Anytime the Spirit's moving, my wife's crying. That's just the way it works for her. But it may be an emotional experience where you're just feeling it deep in your soul. Now, some folks don't have an emotional experience either. Rather, just a deep conviction in their soul of the reality of God, that perhaps for the first time they are fully convinced God exists and God actually loves me. And it's not me running after him, it's him running after me, and I'm willing to get caught today. And so for some folks, and I've had this experience as well, some folks, they say, you know what? Scripture is just popping into my head. It's just popping into my head. And the scriptures come alive for them in a new way that it had never been for them. The point is, the experience is unique for each person. Now, some may not have a tangible experience. Not physical, not emotional, not cognitively. If that is you, do not misinterpret that nothing has happened, right? Don't misinterpret that nothing has happened. You see, God is faithful, and the scripture says, Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. Those are all promises. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Three times, three ways, three promises. And then, I love this part, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, you give him a snake instead? Dad, can I have some fish sticks? No, but here's a cobra. Dad, can I have some scrambled eggs for breakfast? No, but here's a scorpion. Boom. He goes, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, here's the money line, y'all ready for it? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? To those who simply ask. If we ask for the Holy Spirit to fill us, he will. I have prayed with folks who experienced nothing when I prayed with them, and I assured them that it had happened because God is faithful and he keeps his promises. I remember Tom Ross. He came to me weeks after an event like this. And he said, I have changed. There's a peace growing in me. I'm not as angry and cynical and negative as I was. I find myself not reacting the way I used to react and having a peace that passes all understanding. Listen, this is about relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit who is already in you and knows how to completely fill you. And if we invite him to be released in our lives, he will. Because it is his heart's desire. He will minister to you in body, mind, and spirit as you know best. But he's not going to give you the bum's rush. He's going to wait for the invitation. Now, I know at this point, there are some of you who are looking for the door. How can I get up and get out of this place, okay? Because that guy, Terry, is a nutcase, and this is definitely a cult. Let me tell you, this is not a cult. I may very well be a nutcase, though. But here's the deal. You are not here by accident. God prompted you to be here today by divine appointment. Because I believe he wants to reveal himself to you and to us in new ways that are undeniable as well as unexplainable. Now, some of you are here maybe doubting that this is true. But this has been consistently the experience of the Spirit in the church for 2,000 years. People just like you and me. You're surrounded by folks who have had a similar experience. And all I would say is set your doubt aside and trust that God has something good for you. Some of you may be afraid that if you invite the Spirit to fill you, something bad is going to happen. Listen, that fear is unfounded. Back to our scripture. God loves you and wants good things for all of his children. Don't let fear stop you from being swept up into the loving arms of your Father. And there may be some of you that just feel inadequate, saying, listen, if you knew what I've done and how I live, and if you knew my secrets, you would know that I can't ask the Spirit to fill me. And I would say to you, confess, and God will forgive, and he will clear away all of that wreckage so that you can have a fuller experience and relationship with him. Listen, we were never meant to do this Christian life alone in our own power. We were meant to do it filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit and within the context of community. So, I'm going to call the question. I am. Do you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Anyone? Amen, amen. Maybe for the first time, and maybe to be refreshed. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask the prayer teams to move to your places. We have four prayer stations. One here where Chris will be. Chris Ditzenberger, Stace DeFoy will be here. I believe Joseph will be there and John will be there, or vice versa. And they'll have some lay people with them. Now, they're there to pray with you and for you, to lay hands on you and pray for you to receive whatever God has for you today. Now, you don't have to go to a prayer team. You don't. To receive what God has you for you today, all you need to do is make a personal invitation for the Spirit to come and do in you and with you what he pleases. However, if you feel compelled, you can move to one of these prayer stations. Now, oftentimes during these times of ministry, the Spirit will give somebody a word of knowledge or wisdom or prophecy for the church. There'll be a microphone in the middle. It's right there. If you believe God has given you a word for the church, then I encourage you to go to that microphone and I will call on you and you can share that word with the church gathered. Now, before you bring your word that you believe is from God, I want you to test it first. Is it loving? Is it encouraging? Is it in line with the Spirit and the Scriptures? Right? If you have reservations, you're going, I'm not quite sure about this. This is hard going here. Come to me, share it with me, and together we'll discern whether that is a word for the church. So, we're going to enter into a time of ministry. We're going to do three things. One is I'm going to lead us in a prayer of our recommitment to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Two, I'm going to lead us in a time of confession so we can clear away any obstacles in us that we know are separating us from God. And then finally, we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to fill this place and to fill each one of us. And during that time, I'm going to encourage you to just, in your own words, invite the Holy Spirit as much as you can tolerate into your heart and in your life. And there's going to be music, there's going to be singing, there's going to be space. If you feel like you got to lay on the floor prone, then lay on the floor prone. If you need to stand with your arms up like that, great. If you need to kneel, do that. Whatever you feel the Spirit is leading you to. So, with that, I'm going to invite everybody to stand. And we're going to reaffirm our faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And I'm going to say it, and you're going to repeat it back to me if you want to. You don't have to. But whether it's in your heart. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you were born of the Virgin Mary to show us how to live and love like you. And reveal the heart of the Father. And I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And that you rose from the dead in your body. And ascended into heaven. And will come again to judge the living and the dead. And I invite you to be my Lord and Savior, and I surrender my life to you. I invite you to be my Lord and Savior, and I surrender my life to you. So today, at 11:17, on August 27th, you reaffirmed your faith or you just became a Christian. That is real. Oh yeah, let's hear it. I want to invite you to kneel now, if you can. And this is where we are going to confess our sins. Now, you can confess them out loud if you feel called to do that, or you could confess them in your heart. But I want to encourage you to do some business this morning. Lord Jesus, we come before you. We are yours. And Lord, there are things in our lives that are not of you, things that separate us from you and from our true selves and from other people. And today we confess it. And so I invite each one of you right now in your heart or out loud to confess anything that the Spirit is bringing to your mind. Come, Holy Spirit, come and convict your people of their sin that they may return in repentance to you. Lord, I confess an arrogance in me and a pridefulness and falsehood. I confess to you that I have not loved you as you have loved me. Lord, we lift all these things to you. These things that we have carried, that have burdened us, that have fueled self-loathing in us and hatred towards others. And we give it to you, Lord. We do not want it anymore. Whatever you have in your hands, people, hand it to the Lord. Take this from us, Lord, so that we might be free. Come, Holy Spirit, come and confirm in your people the forgiveness of their sins, that they may be completely yours and wash clean this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So, 11:21 on August 27th, whatever you confessed, done, gone. No longer has any hold on you. If that comes back and says, oh no, say, August 11, August 27th at 11:21, I was forgiven. And Lionel is a witness to that. And I'm a witness. We were not meant to be slaves. We were meant to be free in Jesus. Last, I want you to sit. Oh, yeah. I want your hands open on your thighs as if you were to receive a gift. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We open the doors of our church to you. The doors of Christ Church and St. Gabriel's and Epiphany, we throw open all the doors and we say, come, Holy Spirit, come and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Bring new life. Come and fill us to overflowing. Now, if you desire the Holy Spirit to fill you this day, in your own words, make that invitation. And I would encourage you to do it out loud. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you have been invited into hearts and minds and lives of these people. Come, Holy Spirit, come and be poured out. More love and more power. Come, Holy Spirit, come. I'm going to invite the worship team to begin a song for us. And this is a time where you can worship in however the Spirit is calling you to worship. If you would like to go to a prayer station, we encourage you to do that. Those who would like to stand and sing, please do. Word of knowledge for our churches, we encourage you to come forward and share that word.
Patient.
She has a word for the church gathered.
The word I have is just receive. That he is removing every obstacle that's blocking you to receive. Release and the freedom to receive, the trust to receive, the faith to receive. The safety to receive. Thank you, Jesus. And the scripture is Ephesians. I pray that according to the riches, of his glory, that he may grant you, that you may be strengthened in your inner being. With the power of the Spirit, of his Holy Spirit.
Jim, Ellen?
When I asked the Lord kind of what to pray, what I saw just quickly was just a little ice cube, and there was a cherry inside the ice cube. And my heart was just, or where my brain and everything went to, was kind of, oh, I want that ice cube to thaw. I want that cherry that's inside the ice cube. And the impression that I had, or what I kind of felt from it, was that there's no rush. There's no rush. If there's something you feel is kind of in the way, it can melt. It can melt. You can get the cherry. It'll still be there. So I would just encourage you to be patient with whatever you feel like, you know, oh, God's pushing me here, but I don't know if I'm quite ready yet. Just be patient with yourself. You're going to get that cherry. You're going to get the good gift that he has for you. And it doesn't have to be today or now or any particular time. Just to receive his good gifts for you, because he loves you. He is a generous giver, and he has something wonderful for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Dan?
Inside of those lungs, get up and praise. again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. Now it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing
tired, worn out, burned out on religion. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. The unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly, freely and lightly. Amen.
Reason we came to encounter your love. Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. A miracle can happen now. For the Spirit.
Spirit says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened, and you will find rest.
Give life, you are.
rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Amen.
Amen. George?
Welcome, everyone. Don't let the fear of the different stand in the way of your welcome.
Amen. Thank you, George. To stand and let us sing this together.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. I invite the congregation to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You have not left us as orphans, but you come to us and you live in us. Be poured out fully upon your people and your church, that we may be poured out for your world, that others would come to know you and love you and worship and serve you through the life and ministry of your church and your people. And the people of God said, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.